Thinking Small in India.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Today, executives from more than 200 U.S. companies met with business officials in India. Some of the giants of corporate America were represented, IBM, ExxonMobil, Lockheed Martin. But many of the people in the delegation had never been to India before. They run small American companies that want a piece of India's potential. Miranda Kennedy reports from New Delhi.
This is the first time a U.S. business delegation has included so many representatives from small-sized companies. Since they don't have the resources that multinational corporations do, these firms need support from the U.S. government. They want to be here because of India's 8% economic growth rate and its middle class with more than 100 million potential consumers of foreign goods. But U.S. trade official Carmine D'Aloisio admits that India isn't for everybody.
If you are a first-time exporter just starting out, I would steer you to Ontario. But here, because it's a developing country, it's just opening up, it takes a little bit longer.
More than 20 companies in the delegation come from the nuclear sector. The Senate recently cleared a bill that will allow American companies to sell nuclear fuel and technology to India for the first time in history. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Today we're expecting to hear what General Motors has in mind for the future. At an event in Los Angeles, CEO Rick Wagner will tell the world about GM's plans for fuel-efficient vehicles. This doesn't mean resurrecting the electric car necessarily, but it could be close. Sarah Gardner reports from our sustainability desk.
GM will reportedly unveil plans to develop the kind of fuel-saving cars that have helped Toyota speed past the competition. The automaker won't reveal details, but GM's been working on a new series of gas-electric hybrids. It's also developing a plug-in hybrid under the codename iCar. Analyst Jesse Toprak says GM may have pulled the plug on its electric EV1 in the 90s, but times have changed.
Right now, the opportunity is a lot bigger for GM, and also the pressure is bigger as well. The marketplace is really demanding gas-efficient vehicles and alternative technologies.
Toprak says even GM execs would admit today that zapping the EV1 was a big mistake. Environmentalists are cautiously hopeful about the company's green car plans, but don't expect GM to give up its gas-hogging SUVs anytime soon. After all, that's still where the profits are. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
I just pulled a $20 bill out of my wallet. I know it's a 20 because I'm staring at it. But what if it were dark in here? How could I tell it wasn't a dollar bill or a 10 or a 5? Well, I couldn't. And a federal judge says that's a big problem for blind people. Yesterday, the judge ruled the government discriminates against the blind by printing money that can't be identified by size or feel. He ordered the Treasury Department to figure something out. Wall Street rebounded a bit yesterday. The Dow gained 14 points to 12,136. The Nasdaq was up 6 to 2412. The S&P 500 added 4 to 1386. Oil shot up today above $61 a barrel. This is Marketplace. A study out today says more than three-quarters of Americans now use the Internet, and more than half of them get there with a high-speed connection. Brian Watt has more.
USC's Center for the Digital Future has been tracking who goes online and how for the last 6 years. Director Jeffrey Cole says cable modems and DSL have changed everything, even a computer's location in the home. The 37% of us who still use dial-up connections are likely to keep the computer in the bedroom or a back office and only log on once or twice a day.
And with broadband, you're on 30, 40, 50 times a day. And you want the Internet center stage. You want it in the kitchen. You want it in the family room. You want it where you are because you're going on so many times for 2 minutes at a time.
Cole says this changes the way the Internet competes with the television. Going online is now something you can do quickly while the commercials are on. I'm Brian Watt for Marketplace.
The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Last night, the City Council in San Diego passed a ban on certain giant retail stores. Stores bigger than 90,000 square feet that use 10% of their space to sell groceries. Okay, we're talking about Walmart. Walmart supercenters are 185,000 square feet, and they sell food. The usual arguments here: Walmart crushes smaller competitors, doesn't pay well, causes traffic congestion. San Diego's mayor opposes the ban. Walmart says it may go to court if this becomes law. When the Democrats take control of Congress in January, the buzz in Washington is they'll try to remove some of the subsidies now going to big business. But commentator David Frum says the Democrats are also looking to add some of their own.
Imagine if the Republicans had retained their congressional majority, and the first thing they did was suggest big new subsidies for, say, the oil industry. Would there be no public outrage? But that's exactly what the Democrats are now offering their staunch supporters in academia. The Democrats are proposing big new subsidies for college tuition, new loans, new grants, new tax deductions. Nancy Pelosi, the new Speaker of the House, promotes these giveaways as a way to make college more affordable. Just about every economist agrees that federal student aid has the opposite effect. It enables colleges to raise tuition even faster and even higher than they otherwise would. Now, the average price of U.S. college tuition is rising twice as fast as the overall rate of inflation, according to the College Board. Only the healthcare sector has raised its prices faster. As with healthcare, more money does not translate into better results. College seniors, on average, scored only 1.5 percentage points higher than college freshmen in their knowledge of history, economics, and international relations, according to a recent survey. Worse, the survey showed that seniors at the most prestigious and expensive schools actually scored lower than freshmen. That suggests that the principal effect of $200,000 worth of Georgetown or Yale may be to encourage students to forget all the AP material they covered to get into those schools in the first place. While student knowledge declines, academic pay rises. 112 of America's college presidents now earn more than $500,000 a year. Most industries deliver constantly improving products at steadily declining real prices. Healthcare and higher education, the two great exceptions of this rule, are also the two most government-subsidized sectors in the U.S. economy. More subsidy is not the solution to the problem. The subsidy is the problem.
David Frum is a former speechwriter for President Bush and a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. For more on the survey he mentions, go to our website, marketplace.org. And while you're there, you're also welcome to share your thoughts on anything you hear on Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.